Baseball's winter meetings kick off Monday in Orlando. What do the Red Sox need to do to field a championship team in 2018? I'm Chad Finn, sports media and online columnist at the Boston Globe, filling in for Chris Gasper. It's Friday, December 8th, and this is Season Ticket. Let's get right to some hot stove talk. Joining us via Skype is the Boston Globe's Red Sox beat reporter, Peter Abraham. Peter, thanks for coming on Season Ticket.
Hey, Chad, how are you?
I'm good, Pete. Well, we've got a lot of Red Sox stuff to talk about here, obviously, but sort of an ancillary Red Sox connection right off the bat here. Rumors Giancarlo Stanton might end up with the Yankees. It was reported by Craig Mish initially of SiriusXM Radio. I'm not familiar with him, but he seems credible. Is this something that surprises you, that Stanton to the Yankees is at least a small, realistic possibility?
Well, yeah, it does surprise me because last I checked, the Yankees had a very tall right fielder who hit a lot of home runs. So I didn't realize they needed a second one of those. But
of course, you're referencing Aaron Judge, who had 52 home runs for the Yankees this year.
It sounds like it's kind of getting to be a kind of a test of wills between Stanton and the Marlins, that he doesn't necessarily want to go to St. Louis or San Francisco. And he's naming teams now that he would play for, whether it's Houston or the Dodgers or the Yankees. And I think at this point, trying to maybe force his way into a certain situation, whether it's New York or Los Angeles, and using that no trade clause that they foolishly gave him a couple of years ago. So it's becoming, it's been the thing that's held up a lot of baseball so far, and it looks like it's going to continue on for a couple of days at least.
Yeah, I don't fault Stanton for sort of utilizing his no trade clause to the power that he has, not to want to go to St. Louis, a great baseball market, or San Francisco, which has been a really successful team the last 15 years. It's his right, his prerogative, but he seems to have stalled the entire offseason. People seem to be waiting for his decision to come and his new destination to be determined. Also, Shohei Ohtani is going to be making his choice soon. He's got it narrowed down to six or seven teams, the Japanese two-way baseball star. Is it these two guys that are holding everything up, Pete, and then we'll start seeing players falling into place and some other bigger names finding where they're going to be playing this season?
Well, I think they're certainly holding up the slugger market in terms of guys like JD Martinez and Eric Hosmer and Carlos Santana. I think a lot of those players are waiting to see what happens with Stanton, because if, for instance, the Giants don't get Stanton, they're going to have to get somebody else. And the same is probably true of the Cardinals. And those are teams with high payrolls and in terms of the Cardinals, a lot of prospects that they can trade. So you're starting to see some other players come off the board now. And we went a long time where nothing at all happened. But this week we're starting to see, you know, D. Gordon getting traded and some other moves being made. And I think that'll ramp up as we go to Orlando on Saturday and Sunday. And it's probably going to be a very busy winter meetings.
Stanton's somebody the Red Sox and their fan base have pined for a long time. I know Ben Cherington had an eye on him when he was the general manager here. Would there be backlash against the Red Sox if he ends up with their rival and they have a batting order next season in New York that includes Aaron Judge probably batting second and Stanton batting third, arguably the two best sluggers in baseball?
Well, yeah, I think if he does end up with the Yankees, it'll create more backlash with Red Sox fans than it would, obviously, any other team. I think if he were to go to San Francisco or St. Louis or something like that, Red Sox fans would understand that he's super expensive, that they didn't want to give up the prospects, that it didn't make a lot of sense for the Red Sox. But it never seemed to make a lot of sense for the Yankees either. So if he does end up for the Yankees, I think the natural question will be among Red Sox fans, well, why couldn't we make this work? But again, this really comes down to what Stanton wants to do. And it seems like, at least from a negotiating standpoint, he would rather play in New York than he would want to play in Boston. And I guess if you're Giancarlo Stanton, I can understand that. The Yankees have a younger team. The Yankees, obviously, that's a bigger market. Maybe it's a more attractive place to live if you're him. So I can understand why he'd do that. But I do kind of wonder if the Yankee thing is more of a negotiating ploy, trying to figure out a way to get himself to the Dodgers, than it is anything else.
Are the Red Sox making a mistake not being all in on this guy? I think we're on the same page with this. I was one of those people who wrote that Stanton should be a target for the Red Sox for a long time, right up until the point he got a $325 million contract that I believe takes him through age 37, but also has an opt-out. So if he's really good, he can up and leave after a couple of seasons. There's a large segment, I think, of Red Sox fans who would like to see them go out and get this guy. They had a real issue with power this year. They were last in the American League in home runs. Stanton had 59, as we said, for the Marlins, led Major League Baseball. Should they be more in on this guy than they clearly have been?
Well, I think there's kind of two ways to look at that. One of them is, if he doesn't want to come here, then it's probably a waste of time. If he's told the Marlins, and we don't know what he and his agents have told the Marlins exactly, but if he has said, Boston is one of the places I don't want to go, then it would probably be a waste of time for Dave Dombrowski and his staff.
He's not coming here then.
Yeah, what's the point? We don't know that he did that, but it certainly doesn't sound like, based on the latest information, that he's indicated any interest in coming here. And the second part of it, as you talked about, I think has a lot of validity too. It would really change the way their payroll is set up. It would clearly cost them the ability to retain one or two of their young players. It would probably cost them, in terms of what they'd have to give up to get him, either that or they would have to take on the entirety of his contract. So one way or another, it's going to change fundamentally the way your team looks, either by having such a high payroll that you can't do other things, or by having to give up, say, Andrew Benintendi or Rafael Devers or something like that. So I don't know that it necessarily makes sense from that standpoint. And the other part of it is, and this really surprised me, was they had the All-Star game in Miami this year, and obviously Stanton was one of the focal points. He hit all these home runs. He was going to face Aaron Judge in the home run hitting contest. There was all of these, you know, everybody wanted to see what Giancarlo Stanton was going to do. He didn't show up for All-Star Game Media Day, which is about the most softball environment that you could come up with. Everybody, all the questions are basically is, wow, you're great. What can you say about that? And he didn't show up for that. He was very surly for the whole 3 days that the All-Star Game was in Miami. And I was surprised at that because I didn't realize he was like that. And it just occurred to me at the time, like, well, if this guy doesn't, you know, can't be happy in an All-Star game environment, like, what's going to happen if he goes to Boston or New York? So it's not surprising to me that he's trying to dictate where he wants to go. I think he clearly wants to be somewhere where the media is not going to be maybe as pervasive as it would be in other places.
Yeah, I've heard it's come on with him recently, too, that he didn't used to be that way. And we have a former Globe employee who covers the Marlins down there for one of the newspapers and said that he sort of took a turn in the last year. I'm curious why that would happen. I mean, it's a small market, not a lot of attention, not a lot of media coverage. He's a really well-liked player, one of the faces of baseball. What happens when a guy like that, and we've seen it happen here in Boston too, a guy like that's personality seems to change for no obvious outward reason?
Yeah, I'm sure the losing has a lot to do with it in Miami. I mean, they've been a bad team pretty much the entire time he's been there. And I'm sure when I've seen this before with other guys. It happened with, like, Bobby Abreu in Philadelphia, I remember. When you're the best player on a team or perceived as the best player on a team, you kind of become the guy who has to answer for everything, whether it's your fault or not. And it can sour your personality. And I remember when the Yankees traded for Bobby Abreu, everybody was like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. And he was as nice as could be in New York because there were seven other guys who people wanted to talk to before they got to him. So it would probably, I would guess if he went to a place like the Dodgers where they have a bunch of other good players, he would probably change his attitude and change his personality because the pressure wouldn't be on him to be the spokesman for everything that happens. So I'm guessing with the Marlins, with everything that's happened to them, you know, the ownership change and all of the unsettledness, I'm sure that's gotten him after a while, but it would not be much different in a lot of other markets because the second he shows up, you know, he becomes the face of the franchise.
You look at the team Stanton wants to go to on this short list that we're reading all over social media today. It is all good teams. It's Houston, the Dodgers, the Yankees, who are really a loaded young team now. You almost wonder why the Golden State Warriors and the Patriots aren't on that list.
Well, I think the Cubs are one of the teams too, right? I think that was a team that he said he would be interested in. And if he went, you know, if he went to Houston, he's certainly not going to be bigger than Jose Altuve or George Springer or some of their other guys. They have, you know, Justin Verlander's on that team. The Cubs have a whole bunch of notable players, and so do the Dodgers. So, I think it's clear he's looking for a place where he can just go play right field and not be left alone, but be one of the guys. And there's not a lot of places a guy that good and that big and that notable can go somewhere and just be part of the fabric.
We'll have more with Peter Abraham, the Globe's Red Sox beat reporter, right after the break. Stick around. Welcome back. If you like Season Ticket, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Back now with Peter Abraham. So, Pete, Red Sox are probably out on Stanton unless something shocking happens. They're out on Ohtani, who's narrowed his list down. I don't think any of this is a big shock. So my question is, why has it taken the Red Sox so long to actually do anything? I think they knew they weren't getting either of these guys, that it was a slim chance at best. So I don't know if they're moving on to plan B. What they should be moving on to still is what was their plan A in the first place. What's with the delay here?
Yeah, I think plan A is still in place. And I'm sure Dave Dombrowski has things that he wants to do that he hasn't been able to do because in some cases, at least in certainly with Eric Hosmer, Scott Boras is his agent, and Boras is a guy who likes to take his time and feel out the market and not necessarily make a quick move. And I think in terms of perhaps whether it's Jose Abreu in the trade market or other players, they're waiting to see if other teams want to enter those markets once they don't get Stan. So to some degree, I think the Red Sox have become, I don't know if victims is the word, but they've become victims of the market and that they can't necessarily do what they want to do until these things clear up. And again, I think that's something that's going to change a lot when we get to Orlando for the winter meetings next week. But for now, it's kind of been a holding pattern. And it's been that case for a lot of teams. We haven't really seen that many moves other than kind of narrowing down of Ohtani and the narrowing down of Stanton.
Yeah, you look back through history, and I think we're kind of conditioned to expect a big move this time of year. Chris Sale was almost exactly a year ago today when they made that trade with the White Sox, the Adrian Gonzalez trade late in 2010 for the 2011 season came this time of year, David Price a couple of seasons ago. So you're looking for something to happen, and you get a little itchy and edgy when it doesn't. What do you think their plan A ultimately is? If they do sign a big-time player here eventually, who is it going to be?
Well, it's interesting because the Red Sox have needs, and this market is set up to fill those kind of needs. There's a lot of guys who are first baseman DH types who could probably fit this team pretty well. I think Hosmer would. I think certainly Carlos Santana would. I think J.D. Martinez less so because he's probably a DH, and if he does play the field, it's the outfield, and the Red Sox don't need one of those. So there's a lot of ways that they could go with this. I don't know that they could necessarily pull off a trade unless they were willing to give up somebody off the major league roster. But in terms of a free agency, there's guys out there. To me, Hosmer would make a lot of sense because he's a first baseman. He's at least a decent first baseman. I don't think he's as good as people make him out to be. But he's a better first baseman than Hanley Ramirez. That would allow Hanley Ramirez to DH. And I think Santana would be a pretty good option too, because he would probably come for a lot less years and money than a guy like Hosmer. He's a pretty good first baseman. He's a guy who was in a winning environment in Cleveland and would probably be a good fit in this clubhouse. So I suspect would be somebody of that nature. If they were to go to somebody lesser, like a Logan Morrison, I think that would disappoint a lot of fans.
Yes.
They probably understand that. But at the same time, there's this perception, I think, that the Red Sox, they need to do this big thing. You know, they have a big hole that they have to fill. And yeah, they need a first baseman or a DH. But they did win 93 games last year. They didn't hit a lot of home runs. They were last in the league in home runs, but they were sixth overall in the league in runs scored. They're going to get more offense from Rafael Devers over the course of a full year. I think there's going to be improvement by some of the guys who are on the roster already. I don't necessarily subscribe to the idea that they need this radical change in their offense. I think they need to improve their offense, but it's not something they need to tear up the middle of the lineup and remake it. I think one player is probably what they need. And it has to be somebody who's pretty good. I think they understand that. But it's not like the last couple of off seasons where they really needed to make kind of franchise-changing moves because, you know, that's what was demanded at the time. They really needed Kimbrel. They needed Sale. They needed certain other guys. I don't know that it has to be somebody like Hosmer. It could probably be Santana, who's not as big a deal, but would still be a good fit with them.
It seems to me it's kind of an unusual circumstance that the Red Sox are in, and in a good way, where they're a 93-win team that won their division for the second straight year, and yet they have one obvious need that they can probably fill it. It's getting that middle-of-the-order bat. It's not often that a good team has a chance to go out and get what they need to make them a better team. But my question, or what I want to see the outcome of here when they ultimately do make a deal, is who that player is. J.D. Martinez, to me, is interesting. He's a tremendous power hitter coming off a great season with the Dodgers and Diamondbacks after he was dealt over there at the deadline. But he's not a guy with a long track record. The appealing thing to him, about him, I think, with the Red Sox is that he doesn't cost a compensation pick because he wasn't offered arbitration by the Diamondbacks. He was traded after that stuff goes into effect. So there's some little additional appeal to him. But you look at the entire roster construction of the Red Sox, Pete, I tend to be on the bandwagon of if you get a chance to add a really good, complete player, that's what you go out and do. To me, Eric Hosmer is the most complete player here, a guy who's a good hitter, not a 30, 40 home run guy, but a really good player who makes your team better. He's just not that ideal fit as the power hitter that we all think they need because of the David Ortiz hangover.
Yeah, and I think the Red Sox are in a position with their roster and the way the league is constructed right now with the Yankees making their move up, that they can't let the loss of a draft pick change how they're going to put this team together. I think the Red Sox are bigger than, you know, well, we certainly need to hold on to this draft pick because theoretically he could be good in 4 years. I think they need to go out and do what they need to do to improve the team in 2018. They have a win now team. They have, you know, Kimbrel's going to be in the last year of his deal. You know, Sale's coming up on when he's going to be able to be a free agent. This is at the prime career, you know, the prime point of the careers of, you know, Drew Pomeranz and David Price and all of these other guys that they have. So they need to do something that makes this team better right now, that they're not a win in a couple years sort of team. So I think from that point, Chad, you're absolutely right. And I, you know, there's a lot of, you know, they never replaced David Ortiz. They need to replace David Ortiz. There was nobody that was ever going to be quote unquote the replacement for David Ortiz. There's one of those guys and they had him. What they need to do is find somebody who can hit fourth or fifth, who can be a steady player, who can give them some more home runs. But they don't need to go out and chase, we need to add 40 home runs into this lineup. I think they need to score more runs. And however they score more runs, that's fine. It doesn't need to be with a bunch of home runs. It can be with a good, solid player. And that'll make, you know, I think not necessarily solve a lot of problems, but it would make them a team that could maybe be better than 93 wins and be better than getting eliminated in the first round and get them to a point where they can contend for the World Series. I don't think this is a kind of situation where they need to make a huge splash. They need to make a good, solid addition to their team.
It's always fun to make that huge splash to get that new player under the Christmas tree. You know, I remember Manny Ramirez in December 2000, how much that seemed to change the culture of the Red Sox even before they played a game the next year, or you know, going out and getting Pedro Martinez before 1998. Those are the things that get you through the winter as a baseball fan. But I look at this roster and what happened last year, and I'm not certain that if they just stuck with the status quo and came back with generally the same roster that won those 93 games last year, that it wouldn't be a terrible thing. That you look up and down that lineup, and virtually to a man last year, Pete, and I know you're well aware of this, they all were down from the year before. You have to figure that some guys are going to bounce back to maybe even a great degree this year, whether it's Xander Bogaerts being healthy and having a season like he did in 2016, or Mookie Betts' power coming back a little bit, or whoever it happens to be in that lineup. They're still a really good team, and I think that tends to get overlooked around here quite a bit. If they don't go out and get a big name, they're still a contender, right?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, because they'd have essentially the same team that they had that won the division last year, and I would like to think teams that win the division are contenders. So it's funny with the Sox that, you know, everybody says if they don't make a big move, it's going to be disappointing. Well, their big moves are, I think if you're Dave Dombrowski, you're saying, well, yeah, we went and got Chris Sale. We went and got David Price. We went and did a lot of things. You know, we got Craig Kimbrel. And he feels like, at some point, you can't do that every year because you really start stripping down your farm system to a point where it's useless. And at some point, the Red Sox need to pay some attention to getting some players back in their farm system. They can't just keep trading five guys to fill every hole that they need. It either needs to be free agency or some other venue to start improving the team. And I think that's why they'll look more free agency probably this year than trade. And the other part of it, I think, with the Sox is the reason they hired Alex Cora, beyond more than anything else, is because they felt they had young players who underachieved and then wanted a different voice in the clubhouse, somebody more relatable, somebody with better communication skills, and obviously somebody younger who could – I don't think a guy like Xander Bogaerts needs to be gotten through to, but he probably needs somebody who can throw an arm around him when he's in a slump and say, hey, listen, you know, you're my shortstop. Everything's going to be fine. You know, go out there tomorrow and do what you do. And that never seemed to click with Bogarts and Farrell. I think the same was true with Benintendi. The same was true with Bradley. Mookie Betts last year, I thought it was kind of a bad sign that in spring training, when asked about what he accomplished last year, his stock answer to everybody was, well, I can never do that again.
Yeah.
And I thought at some point they needed, like, you know, and Farrell, you know, they put the clips out every day. The managers, the manager and the coaches and the executives all see what the players say. That nobody went to him and said, hey, listen, you know, that is what you are. You know, you're that good a player. You're an MVP caliber player. Like, you need to shoot for that every year. You know, you're not, that wasn't your one good year at the age of 24. You know, you're that guy. And I don't think that ever happened. And now I'm not saying Cora is going to come in and give everybody a big hug and they're all going to hit 25 home runs. But I do think whether it's Benintendi, whether it's Bogarts, Betts, I think Cora is going to be real good for Rafael Devers. The Red Sox guys who are here right now, I think some of them are going to take significant steps forward. And when you look at Devers, you know, sure, there's going to be adjustments because it's going to be his first full year in the big leagues. But this is a guy who's got a chance to be one of the better power-hitting third basemen in the league. And that was obviously something they didn't have last year. And I think Bogarts is a guy who's capable of hitting 20 home runs. The same is true of Bradley. Betts can hit 30 home runs. So there's going to be internal improvement. They just need somebody who can complement those guys. I don't know that they need 70 home runs from, like, you know, Giancarlo Stanton.
There's something to be said for positive reinforcement, to be sure. And I think generally you look at this roster and you say, these guys are going to be better players. These guys are going to live up to their ability. Real quick, Pete, do you look at this lineup and say there's one or two guys in there that say another slugger becomes available via trade, a Jose Abreu, somebody like that, that you absolutely would not give up in any kind of blockbuster?
I wouldn't give up Devers. I think a young guy.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's 21. He hits for opposite field power. I think he's going to get better as a third baseman. I don't know if he's ever going to be Brooks Robinson, but I think he can be a good, solid, league-average third baseman. They need to watch him to make sure he stays athletic enough to play third base. But to me, that's a guy who, you know, that's hard to find, a guy like that.
Fly ball to deep left center field. Devers has hit it out! The rookie takes Chapman the other way to tie the game.
You can find outfielders and you can develop outfielders, but a third baseman who can hit for power like that is only 21. That's a real unicorn. I can't imagine they would trade Betts. I can't imagine they would trade Benintendi. And so that a lot of people, I think, say, well, okay, when you start crossing off names, well, that means you can trade Bradley. And that's
or Bogarts.
To say, yeah, or Bogarts. And I think that's easy to say and say, okay, we'll just trade Jackie Bradley and Benintendi can play center field. Well, if you watch the Red Sox in the beginning of last year when Bradley got hurt, Benintendi was not a very good center fielder. And there was a lot of people on that team, and counting the pitchers, who were just waiting, counting down the days for Jackie to get back and play center field. And not that Benintendi's a bad center fielder, but he's, you know, Bradley is really, really good. And what people, I think, sometimes forget, the reason Betts is a two-time Gold Glove winner in right field is he can play that, not the reason, but one of the reasons is he can play that two steps over towards the line because
yes.
He knows Bradley has the gaps. And part of the reason Benintendi has improved in left field is the same thing, is that he can play a little bit back towards the corner and towards the wall because Jackie can come over and make those plays in the gap. So if you start, I think, dismantling that outfield, you're going to find out some of those things. And Bradley's another guy, too. You know, you have to live through some of the ups and downs, but this was a guy who hit, you know, a fair amount of home runs the year before, too. So I don't know that the Red Sox would be wise to start stripping off parts of their team like that to go, especially Abreu, who's got 2 years of control and is kind of a one-dimensional player.
Yeah.
I think that there's things that they can do that don't include them having to trade the really good young shortstop and young center fielder that they spent so much time developing.
We know the Red Sox are going to do something soon. I hope it's something that doesn't involve Bradley or Bogarts or any of these young guys. I think
I would agree.
They're going to bounce back this year. It's been really fun talking hot stove with you, Pete. I hope you have a good time down at the winter meetings and have some interesting things to report about the Red Sox because everybody's waiting up here.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those winter meetings where we walk in the building on Sunday and we don't walk out until Thursday and we never see the light of day because there's going to be so many things going on. So it's going to be a lot of fun and looking forward to covering it.
It's overdue. We're ready for that stuff, Pete. You can find Pete on Twitter at Pete Abe. Pete, thanks for coming on Season Ticket.
Thanks, Chad.
And that's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR. Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and leave us a review. Every Friday, we like to thank the people who help us put together the podcast. Season Ticket is produced by Steve Safran, Josh Swartz, Scott Thurston, Joe Sullivan, John Parati, Paul Vikas, Jessica Alpert, Matthew Reed, and our intern, Brendan Coughlin. I'm Chad Finn, in for Chris Gasper. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you Monday.